Welcome to another edition of MedTech Chat, a series of discussions with medical device industry leaders. I'm Nick Abraham, Managing Editor of Medical Design and Outsourcing Magazine, and thanks for tuning in. Today we have the author of the new book, Mantra Design, Innovate, Buy, or Die, Dana A. Oliver, with us. Dana has helped grow Medtronic Surgical Technologies ENT division from $100 million to approximately $2 billion in annual revenues over 14 years, and is here to discuss his definitive innovation leadership guidebook. Dana, thank you for being with us today.
Nick, thank you very much for having me as a guest, and it's a real pleasure to be part of Medical Design and Outsourcing Magazine. This is fantastic.
Awesome. Well, let's start out by just tell us about yourself and tell us about your new book.
Sure. I mean, I guess for me, it goes back a long way. My dad was in the military, so I kind of grew up from very humble means. So in essence, I'm one of those kind of American success stories where, I had no monies to go to college, so I worked full-time for 10 years, and then went to college at night in addition to working that time. And I've effectively, over my career, 30 years, worked my way from an entry-level drafter up to the senior director of research and development for Medtronic. And as you pointed out, helped grow this division over 14 years from $100 million to $2 billion. So it's been a great run.
Awesome. So Mantra Design, Innovate, Buy, or Die. What inspired this book? Tell us more about it.
Sure. So, I've been quite successful. And what I wanted to do is I think, not only do people deserve better, but I think business deserves better. And so what I wanted to do is write, this is my second book now, on in particular my business and my innovation philosophies, as well as share my best practices. So Mantra Design is a compilation of, in essence, looking at my 30 years and how I've honed and refined my principles. And I share them in the book. Each book, in essence, is I live and breathe by mantras, and I do that because it ensures consistency of leadership. They're simple and concise, and it's easy to ensure alignment with your team. And I break each chapter into a critical mantra, and I talk about it in the book, and it's based on my life experiences and the things that have been effective in work. So, I'm sharing. It's like think of it as a business and innovation self-help book. And I share those steps.
So there are 14 mantras. And in the 14 mantras, they highlight the true power of innovation. How did you come up with the mantras?
Sure. So like anything, right, it's over time. I think not only do people grow in their careers and in their philosophies, that's no different for me. My career has helped me grow and mature. And so, over time, I've looked at a lot of different sayings, and these ones have kind of surfaced to be the cream of the crop. And at the end of the day, looking back when I constructed the book, I found them to be the most suitable to share.
All right. You said innovation is the lifeblood of any company's continued growth and future survival. What does this mean?
Sure. I think, so if you think about it really, right, I prescribe to effectively four pillars. And the pillar around integration is I strongly recommend that companies want to aspire to invest 10% of their company's revenues back into organic development. Because when you do that, when you're investing organically, it's the single best mechanism to allow your company to grow. And I say that because when you do it organically, when you make an acquisition, by example, you're going to pay a premium on top of that. And there's lots of people competing for those same acquisitions. Whereas if you stay focused on the core products that help your business in the first place make you successful, and you continue to focus on them and get close to your customers, that allows you to strategically position. You can look at your sales. When your sales start to slow, you can position to ensure you have a new product launch to continue the growth, as well as it allows you to position when you choose to maybe cannibalize or obsolete older platforms. It allows for continual refreshment. And when you do these things, you go back to your customers. Your customers recognize that you're committed to innovation, you're committed to your business, you're committed to them, and they in turn buy more product and they want to be your partner.
So what do you say to the company that doesn't believe in innovation or doesn't believe innovation is the key to success or a lucrative business?
Well, I would tell you, if someone feels that way, I could almost guarantee you that that business is competing in a red ocean or a bloodied ocean, and they're competing on commodity products and Me Too products. You know, when you choose to commit to innovation, that means you're looking to establish disruptive technologies. You're looking to continue to differentiate your existing products and core brands. And when you're not innovating, the reality is another company will. And as soon as that happens, you will then be leapfrogged. And then you'll be looking from a position and, you know, looking at their rear. And it's very hard after you fall from number one to number two or number three to ever reestablish and become a market share leader.
Yeah. Wow. That's definitely some good insight. And I would wonder why a company would not want to innovate or be involved in that, where as a society, that's what we do.
You know, that's why I write the book, and that's why I say not only do people deserve better, but businesses deserve better. One of the reasons, there's a couple of reasons, of course, but, you know, what happens is sometimes businesses, depending on their leadership teams, they're not committed to innovation, or what they're trying to do is write their resumes. So they're looking on for they're more myopically interested in their own self-advancement. So if they can kind of milk a company, if they can hit earnings, they can then kind of update their resume and say, oh, look what I did. I made sure that, you know, we favored the shareholders. For me, you know, when you begin to look at earnings instead of looking at top-line revenue, I have a mantra, and that's if you grow the top, the bottom will follow. When you focus on earnings, you begin to now effectively, you're being manipulated by the stock price and by Wall Street. Whereas if you think innovation and you think growth and you think revenue, then you will make the long-term strategic decisions irrespective of what the short-term ramifications to the stock price are. But in the long term, you will do well. And this is no different. This is the secret to investing. So if you try to time the market, I can assure you, you're going to lose. People have been doing it forever. It's the same in business. You play long ball. It's think strategically, invest strategically, and I can assure you the business will grow over time, and you will reward your shareholders.
So Dana, we are 4 months into 2016. What do you have planned for the rest of the year?
Sure. So for me, irrespective of the timing of the year, for how I look at business is I make sure that my team, you know, at least from R&D, is focused on 85% of their time. I have them focused on core technologies. So that way I can ensure that I'm always going to move that annual operating plan needle. Conversely, I always think about having 15% of my team's time spent on working on research and feasibility. That way I always... I can ensure the business that I have a full pipeline of technology when we get done with core. So that's how I kind of allocate my time. I assume that question was about business and not personal.
It was however you wanted to answer it, and I appreciate your response.
Excellent.
So Dana, how can people purchase a copy of Mantra Design?
Sure. I mean, obviously, you know, you can go to Amazon, you can go to Barnes & Noble. I recommend my website, which is www.mantraleadership.com. And the reason I say that, Nick, is that I post all of my magazine interviews as well as my radio interviews, and I give free previews and reads of the book. So if people like what they're hearing, you know, as part of this interview, they can go find more. And so that in those links, I have hyperlink you out to Amazon or Barnes & Noble to ensure that you're going to accredited place to get a copy.
Well, thanks, Dana, and please keep us posted on any future updates.
Oh, absolutely, Nick. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me as a guest.
Thanks, Dana. This has been MedTech Chat, Medical Design and Outsourcing Magazine's podcast series with medical device industry leaders. I'm Nick Abraham. Thanks for listening, and please tune in next time.